All right. My name is Stacey Von Busch. I am 41 years old. Today is Saturday, August 12th, 2023. We are in Green Bay, Wisconsin. My partner today is Xavier Horkman, and he's my partner in life as well.
And my name is Xavier Horkman. My age is 32. Today's date is August 12th, 2023. We are in Green Bay, Wisconsin. My interview partner is Stacey Von Busch, and my relationship to her is that she is my significant other.
Oh, he's...
because that's what it said on there.
It did say significant other, didn't it? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to kick us off. Okay. So as far as where I wanted to take this, this is a really vulnerable discussion for me as an individual. A little backstory. I am the founder of SAGE, which is a local arts advocacy organization here in Green Bay. We started in 2017. In 2019, we became a registered 501c3 nonprofit. As of 2021, we entered into our downtown Green Bay studio location where we currently reside. And we are completely volunteer-led, organized, and executed. And this is something that over the years I've really wanted to shed a little bit of light on in regards to maybe the shift of nonprofit leadership or nonprofit even employment or nonprofit stability, you know, and how things, especially like grassroots organizations, survive in communities that really have powerful nationwide nonprofits present within them, organizations that have the ability to compensate those that do the work to make the project successful. And so for me, I wanted to shed a light on what it takes and what it's taken over the years to keep SAGE going and to truly passionately believe in fostering an arts community in the Green Bay area. For purposes of understanding, Wisconsin ranks 50th in the nation when it comes to arts funding. We receive 13 cents per capita, of which most arts organizations of SAGE's size never see. We are predominantly self-funded by projects and things that we do and artists do. We are run by artists for artists. But when it came to someone who might be able to share what it's like to put so much into a nonprofit, hours and hours and hours of effort, and believing in something and believing in a mission, I didn't think that there was anybody quite more appropriate than the person who spent the last year and a half watching me do it. And so that's kind of my question, and where I want to lead this conversation is, and maybe you can share our backstory as far as how we came to meet and all of that. But I just want you to be able to speak to what you see in how and why SAGE is alive today, particularly my role. And I don't think that that's meant to be an ego situation. I'm not looking to, you know, be some sort of accolades and praise for me. I want people to know what it's taken over all these years to even be where we're at as a grassroots, completely volunteer organization.
Well, we met because of SAGE, and we met because you approached me and me as my venture, the Jacks of All Ideas, which was a small media venture between a few friends. And so I had made a post wanting to be more community involved, and you had reached out to me. And we met at a coffee shop, and from there we were me and Jake as well. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just the two of us, me and my partner on our venture, and then from there I became involved with SAGE, and eventually approached you differently.
Well, I think one of the fun things too is describe the project that I first presented you with.
Oh yeah, so that was basically a documentation of the community. For the shortest way to put it, was what the art scene looks like in Green Bay, and talking to people, covering events, engaging in projects, documenting the engagement of projects.
The flowers.
So, yep, the flowers where we approached people and had other people approach somebody they would like to give some flowers to, or another one was having people give some free artwork as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a really community-led project, community-involved project. And so that was pretty much how we even initially connected. And so I guess you're really leaving it open, and I'm going to take advantage of that. So I think one of the things that comes to mind is obviously it's all volunteer, and you are only really paid for, you know, you don't have a regular income from this. You don't regularly get paid. You don't get a regular paycheck. You do get paid for if there are grants involved, and, you know, you kind of pay yourself as a project manager at times, and or if you have direct involvement in a project that Sage kind of spearheads, then you pay yourself as well. And I think one of the things that I notice is obviously is what kind of goes on behind the scenes for getting these things done, as far as answering emails, talking things through, dedicating brainstorming time. I mean, there's a basically what this looks like for Sage Green Bay. Well, not Sage Green Bay. It's not, we don't want to do that anymore. Sage, just Sage. What for Sage to look like, what it does, it just takes probably, I would say, for every, you know, 1 hour, let's say, like, you know, that you're in the field, or every 1 hour that you're, like, putting on a show, it's almost like there's probably 5 to 10 hours put into that alone. So if you're putting on a 3-hour show for your, you know, one night only program, then there's probably 15 hours of dedication behind that at minimum, if not more. And that's why I say 5 to 10, maybe 15 to 30 hours of dedication on your end of things in order to execute that. And I see this, you know, it's planning, you know, evenings around it, and planning weekends around it. And it's not really, and this is a bigger point that I was kind of wanting to build towards. And I think this is a good time to go into it, is that it's saying building evenings around it, building weekends around it, but it's building it into it. It's not building your weekends and evenings around it. It's building it into it, because I think around it implies that there's maybe a bit of strain involved, or maybe a bit of a desire to not engage it in, or not want to engage with it rather. And I don't think that's fair, because,
well, like, for example, we do open studios on Tuesdays because I don't have to care for my children. And we know that we're able to dedicate the time to come into the studio, to volunteer those hours, to sit with people and create art or do peer-to-peer mentorship. And then we added music mentorship on Thursdays because we knew that I was going to be occupied on Thursdays so that you could go out and you could do this program. And so there is a lot of, how can we fit this into what our everyday lifestyle is? And I think what's important to note there is, like, how much more could we do if we weren't both working full-time jobs outside of this community outreach effort, and how much more could we give to the community? How much more impact could we have if there was a source of financial ability for this organization to have a bigger footprint.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. But I think on, and I don't want to just bypass that, but I do want to get to the bigger point that I was kind of building towards is that, you know, when I say that it's like built into our lifestyle, or when I say that when we kind of hark back to not being paid for any of this, and mm-hmm. but and then of course things would be better to get paid for these sorts of things, and of course we advocate for artists' wages, and we believe that you should be paid for the work that you're doing, but this is how we choose to dedicate our free time. Mm-hmm. And this is something, this goes back to a point that you brought up where you say, you know, I don't really know what it's like to just work a 9-to-5 and then just come home and just like, what do you even do in that time? How do you even occupy your time? I wouldn't even be used to that. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that's like. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that, because this is how you choose to occupy that time that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That free time, that unpaid time, that you time is dedicated to this. And so I think that's just a bigger point that I want to make here, is that I knew that we were going to talk about artist advocacy, and I knew that we were going to talk about a livable wage for the work that we do, whether it be the arts or the SAGE stuff. But I do think that choosing and framing it in a way in that we choose to do this unpaid, we choose to do this with our free time, reflects better what it means to you. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best way to do it, is that when you get your downtime, in theory, now it's built into what you do on a day-to-day basis, right? Mm-hmm. But when you basically are, you know,
up at 6 a.m. to fill out a grant application before I have to be to work.
Yep. Like, these are things that, like, it's beyond, you know, trying to advocate for this and that. Like, this is what you want to do on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. When you get that, like I said, when you get that free time, when you get that, oh, things are caught up, I'm feeling good, you find that time not to, you know, binge watch a show, although you do that once in a while. Binge watch a show, or, you know, engage in entertainment that other people engage with, or, you know, play video games or whatever other people do in their relaxation time. You choose to dedicate that time to basically the advocacy of the artists through SAGE.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a choice. Since day one, like the whole thing, nobody's making me do this. And so there's a big emphasis there. Nobody has ever said you have to do this. You can dissolve a 501c3 quite easily. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, in 2017, there was a conversation between myself and another small business creative. And, you know, we're working at home. And all we can think about is, you know, maybe other people would benefit from this kind of conversation. And though I've watched SAGE over the last 6+ years develop into something completely different from where we began, what's fascinating to me is that that sense of community never went away. Like, mm-hmm. it started with, I want to connect with you. Mm-hmm. It continues to be,
and it just evolved. I want to connect. It evolved into something differently.
Yeah, and I think a reason why I wanted to bring this up, too, is because in Green Bay, as in our many communities, you have some people that have the most beautiful passion projects, like SAGE, that go underrepresented because we're being overshadowed by big nonprofits, nationwide nonprofits. Our lack of consistent funding doesn't allow for big marketing gigs. We don't have full-time social media representatives. We don't have a massive pool of volunteers to assist us with our efforts. But it doesn't take away from the mission that these people have. I think of, you know, the organization Laundry Love and how they've grown over the years, but that their mission was literally just to assist low-income individuals and having the dignity of clean clothing to wear, or Georgia's Secret Elves, who puts together food packages for kids at various times of the year, or the nurses in a nearby county that help children in the school district that are identified as homeless. And these are all individuals who are working outside of these big organizations with the same level of community and passion and determination. And that's what makes Green Bay, to me, Green Bay.
And what I think a related point to bring up right now is, what do we always talk about is, it's never about the size of the impact as far as the number of people that we impact. It's always about how we impact individuals instead of the number of individuals.
So when we talk about grant applications, one of the worst questions that is pretty much on every grant application is, with this program that you're presenting that you want us to fund, how many people do you intend to serve and what are those outcomes? And it's really hard.
It's tough to see that question on those
applications. It's really hard, because when you know that just by having your door open, and Green Bay doesn't have community centers. We don't really have spaces. I grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska, and attached to just about every elementary school it was a community center, and we would walk there as kids, and we would, you know, play basketball in the gym or play cards with our buddies or watch TV in the community room or whatever. But we had that space right outside of our homes to just hang out and be together. And Green Bay doesn't have that for the general population. And so when we've watched, and you've watched firsthand with me, you know, Open Studio, for example, just having that door open, the folks who have walked through, and how it can be one person. But when it is one person, how we're able to so centrally focus in on them and what their needs might be and why they showed up today. Mm-hmm. And the overwhelming, you know, recognizing that these people just want to belong. Mm-hmm. They want a place where they feel like they belong.
Well, I think this feeds right into the musician group. Mm-hmm. That my most recent experience just a couple days ago with the musician group, I mean, the picture that you posted shows very clearly that there looked like there was a total of four people there. Mm-hmm. And what we thought it did for each individual person was acknowledged by us after. Mm-hmm. We went right down the line, like what it meant to Jared, what it meant to Aaron, what it meant to Aaron.
Yeah, there were two Aarons.
Two Aarons. Lady Aaron and Guy Aaron.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, although one Aaron takes up a lot of space when he's present for things, there were actually two Aarons that evening.
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. but it was very clear individually right down the line what it meant to those three people. And then with me being the one that's kind of spearheaded this initiative, what it then meant to me, knowing what it meant to those three people individually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what it meant in each individual, it's different. You know, they're each in kind of different situations, and I don't know these people in a ton of detail, so I'm not going to try to get into their individual life situations. But, you know, they're all wanting to belong to something for mm-hmm. different reasons, mm-hmm. you know. And they were all came together, and it was a beautiful thing. And you can't say that, you know, when you see those questions on a grant application of how many people are you going to impact, it's tough to say, well, four.
Yeah, right.
You know, or we've had this kind of turnout, you know, if you counted the individuals that have completely showed up, I think we've had seven total different individuals show up.
For the music
group. So it's like, that would be
tough
to pitch, you know.
Like a one night only, I usually say that we average 100 people at a one night only exhibit. So mm-hmm. Those are art exhibits that are free to the community. They're free for artists to participate. And we actually don't even take commission if the art is sold during a one night only exhibit. Because that's our artist advocacy platform. We don't want to build our organization on the backs of the people that we look to serve.
How many times have you said that?
A lot.
In these last handful of years.
A lot. I think that's really important. And, you know, it's part of it being a nonprofit, and a unique nonprofit is finding other sources of income other than the artists. So we don't have a membership fee or anything like that. But 100 people show up to a one night only, and Does everybody get a chance to talk to him? Does everybody get a chance to intimately engage with the person that walked through the door the way that you can if you're one person interacting with a group of mm-hmm. four individuals? Mm-hmm. And the way that, you know, I just remember whatever a year ago, you know, we're a year and a half into our relationship, and I just remember a year ago you all of a sudden going, man, I had no idea. I had no idea that it took all of this, or that this is what was going on around here, or, and what have you. And I think a lot of people.
But you know what I think of right away when you say that mm-hmm. is, you know what else I had no idea about was how good it feels.
To see
something like that through.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another part of it. Like when you say, you know, I had no idea what goes into it. It's right away I just think of, you know, some of the outcomes that we've experienced together, mm-hmm. the positive outcomes we've mm-hmm. experienced together as a result of some of the projects we've taken with Sage, and how those feelings are new. And, you know, we can go right back to that fresh example on Thursday when I called you after, basically giddy and excited, needing to tell you everything that happened just now.
But that's how it goes. That's how it goes. Look at, I mean, it's like its own little high. We look at the Artist Resistance exhibit that we did last year, and that room full of individuals just talking about social justice issues, whether it was
ridiculous.
The cost of housing or transgender rights or access to healthcare or you know, we were all in that room and in that moment learning so much from each other that when it finally did kind of round itself out and we left that night, it was like, how do we keep this going? How do we continue to facilitate
this? Almost felt like the nail, in hindsight, it almost felt like the nail in the coffin of like, oh, this serious arts advocacy is more of what we do now.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like we were gearing that way,
you
know, at that point in time. You know, moving from being a marketing or market advice to various vendors into becoming, you know,
I like to think about
arts
like,
advocacy nonprofit instead.
In 2019, so pre-pandemic, we as a board, Sage has a board of four individuals. Currently, we do have an open seat, and we kind of joke that. In 2019, when we were a brand new nonprofit, there was a huge sense of like missing out or not being present, or every time that we had an opportunity to be seen, we needed to be seen so that people would acknowledge that we existed and all that. And I just think about in 2019 playing with a kiddie pool full of bubbles
mm-hmm.
versus what we do now.
Mm-hmm.
And how that is so...
Talk about a dramatic difference.
Greatly shifted, mm-hmm. right? You know, it was kind of like...
It's funny, Aaron, the guy mm-hmm. who has been around.
He's been around for a while.
Since then.
Yeah.
He brought up, you know, didn't know these conversations that we have, you know, seeing what the evolution is. And
yeah.
It had kind of come up that he had said, oh, I kind of miss that. I miss that, you know, like being at the Ignite Market and having all of those, you know, all of us show up for that. And,
mm-hmm.
and I, in... He's, you know, I've gotten to be really comfortable with him and
mm-hmm.
and I've known him for a handful of years, obviously, since then. So it wasn't, I was just kind of being a bit forward with him because I know that we can talk to each other that way. And I just said, well, you know, that's not really what we're about anymore. It's kind of, you know, I told him, you know, we've talked about this where
mm-hmm.
back then it was this and now it's this, you mm-hmm. know, and he agreed and he really recognized it too.
And I think a lot of that stemmed, you know, we move into our studio right kind of towards the end of the pandemic. So November 2021, we move into our studio. So we're still kind of, you know, isolating, having our social distance, wearing masks and all of that. And it was March of 2022 that we actually opened up the studio. And getting individuals to show up was 100% like starting over. In April of 2020, we had 50 people in a meeting, 50 artists, 50 local artists just hanging out. We used to, you know, talk about how much we looked forward to our monthly meetings because it was like family. And we try to reinstate all of that. And the first meeting that we tried to host in person, nobody showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through that mental cycle of, does the community want this? does the community still want an arts advocacy organization? Do artists still want a place to call home? And I think that was part of the reason why we shifted a little bit, mm-hmm. was that instead of having a physical presence in the community as much as we did pre-pandemic, now it's turned to more of an intellectual presence in the community. And we also recognized what we were going to be capable of in regards to nobody wants to burn out. I went from, you know, being a part-time artist in a dual-income household to a full-time artist in a single-income household with three children, and that greatly lessened my extra time. And, you know, there's been so many adaptations, and yet we're still here. And so I don't know. I don't know what I really intended with having this conversation with you, other than just trying to shed a little bit of a light on not just SAGE, but grassroots organizations in general, the Green Bay community in general, as far as like the people that are out here doing the work. And, you know, I've worked firsthand through SAGE with, you know, individuals dealing with homelessness, individuals dealing with domestic abuse, individuals with disabilities. Like, we've worked with so many different demographics in order to, you know, foster an inclusive space and really diversify the voices that are heard in the community. And I don't know how many people actually know that's the work that's going on day to day. Like, do you, I mean, like, because we don't, and maybe that's another thing that's nice to kind of shed a light on too. In February, I did an interview during a large program that Green Bay has, the Green Bay Community Foundation has, called Give Big Green Bay. And we did an interview, and it was nice to be able to say that we're able to do these things, you know, going into a park with a box of art supplies and sitting with homeless individuals and just inviting them to make art. We didn't make a big, huge marketing ploy out of it. We didn't sit and blast a bunch of photos. We didn't sit and ask for sponsors. We didn't ask for a single sponsor for anything like that, you know. And we did that because we're so determined to not be focused on the money. And that, like, kind of makes this weird 180 back to how we initially started this conversation of how it'd be really nice if we did have money to be able to extend our impact. But we don't. I think it's because we don't want to ruin the passion and the intent of it, kind of like what you already said before. And we look around at some of the things that happen in our community for arts or other reasons, and how it's like, man, you know, why couldn't you just do it? Why did you need to have to go around and tell everybody about it? Why did you need to, you know, or why can't we have these authentic conversations where we're honest about the number of individuals who actually showed up or the number of individuals who actually actively participated? You know, like, why can't we paint an actual picture of what the Green Bay arts community looks like by being able to be honest rather than puffing up what it is that we're doing for the sake of funding a big building or multiple staff or whatever.
Well, this, unfortunately, a lot of the people that engage in these sorts of societal issues, I suppose, in this Green Bay area, do it for what feels like the wrong reasons, mm-hmm. in that they, what you were inferring already, is they want it to be known that they did this good thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay inherently to want that. I think that's a really natural thing for somebody to want that sort of recognition or feel that, you know, I'm doing this good thing and I'd like people to know that I'm doing this good thing. There's nothing inherently wrong with that until it takes away from the progress that everybody's trying to make, mm-hmm. until it becomes, you know, a power grab, until it becomes, becomes a barrier to progress in any way, you know, from, I guess, limiting opportunity or not moving forward with the proper expertise with any sort of project.
Choosing who gets recognized to begin with.
And that's when it becomes problematic. And so...
I think, if you don't mind, for sake of the fact that you're talking about social issues, I think it's important, since they hear just a male voice, why don't you tell them your background as far as... culturally. I just think it's very relevant for the sake of whoever might listen to this.
Yeah, I am an Oneida tribal member. Mm-hmm. I was born and raised on the Oneida Nation Reservation. And so I do realize, I have realized over time that that perspective is very unique in a lot of ways. And so... yeah, I think that a lot of what I am as a person as far as an arts advocate and anything of that nature is really fed by that background. Mm-hmm. I think it's just very ingrained into my day-to-day life, and that those experiences are reflected in more ways than I completely understand at this point in my life. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I just wanted to take a moment to mm-hmm. recognize like where your place lies in, mm-hmm. in all of this. And I think, too, I just wanted to see, you know, what we would end up talking about mm-hmm. and where this would take us. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good. I think it's good to shed a light on the efforts that this community as a whole may not see, and how much this community could see if we were just empowered that much more.
Just a little bit more. just a little bit more. Not much more.
You know, like...
if I could just, like, dedicate 30 hours a week to this and make a livable wage and mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. have my life outside of that, I'd probably end up dedicating more than 30 hours a yep. week to it, wouldn't
yep. I? Yeah, and that's just it, too, because, like, when you talk about having so much purpose and how beautiful it would be to be actually employed and doing what you love the most mm-hmm. and to be able to take all these creative ideas and actually execute them in the community to lay mm-hmm. that arts culture, mm-hmm. right, that's uniquely and inherently Green Bay. I think that's something that's really limited around here, is that we look to nearby cities like Madison and Milwaukee and say, what are they doing? Even Appleton, what are they doing? How are they doing it? What have you? And we can't even come close to that because we never even bother to answer the question of who are the Green Bay artists? What does Green Bay art look like? What can we portray through our art? What can we say? How many voices can we represent? It's getting better. Uh-huh. But I would like to believe that if just like, you know, it's kind of like a throw me a bone here and watch, uh-huh. watch what we can do with it. Uh-huh. And
I know, I think one thing I kind of wanted to kind of wrap up with was sure. you talk about, or you have talked about like, leaving it behind, like just dropping it and just
lots
like just talk about like I don't want to do mm-hmm. I don't want to do this really, and what would that look like?
Yeah,
and you couldn't stand
I can't
that.
Let go.
You couldn't stand
I can't
that.
Let go. You know, it's funny, I have 2019, I can remember specifically being like, is this even worth it? You know, 2020, felt a lot of purpose. There was one day right in the beginning of the pandemic where, in order to encourage artists to keep making art while we were all just tore up over what in the world was going on, I stopped at the front porches of 16 Green Bay area artists and dropped off whatever art supply they requested that we had in our art supply storage. Mm-hmm. And I just remember feeling so much good from that, from being like, there's an art supply package on your porch, you know, whatever it ended up being. And in, I don't know, last year, I'm sure there's just, I mean, it comes mm-hmm. it comes around. And it's not to say I can't let go. It is to say I would hate to see what has been built, because it's not just mine. I would hate to see it fall away.
I don't think the term I would ever use for it is let go. It's walk away.
Yeah.
That's different. This feels very different.
Yeah.
Letting it go feels like, oh, it's a burden and I'm letting this go. Like, that feels different. It's walking away from something like this. Yeah. You couldn't.
There's been plenty of times where I've questioned.
Or you'd walk away from this and do something different.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. That was fun.